Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Man, it is a beautiful day. I saw a cartoon this week that someone said it's only rained twice this spring, once for 27 days and once for 39 days. And I'm thankful for the sun, aren't you? Well, welcome everybody. My name is Andrew McLean. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway, and we're just so thankful that you are here. I just want to start with just a couple of announcements. I'm just really happy to have so much of my family here with us today. I've got my Uncle Mo and Aunt Linda and Aunt Army and Cousin Rachel and Bobby and Norma and the kids, and I know when I do this, I'm going to leave somebody out. Eric, Lacey, who is up here, she agreed to help us out, my cousin Lacey, and sing for us. Today, so thankful for each and every one of you, just really glad that you're here. Also, today is Shyla's birthday, and so I want to wish... want to wish a very happy birthday to my amazing, amazing wife. She puts up with a lot having to live with me and our three boys, but I just really appreciate all that she does and all that she does behind the scenes to make what happens here on Sundays possible, and so just really grateful for you. Well, today is the first Sunday of the month, and one of the things that we do here at the Lifeway Church, if this is your first or second time here, you may have heard us talk about Growth Track, and so Growth Track is just our way to help you learn a little bit more about the things we do and why we do the things that we do. And so if the Lifeway is your church home or you're considering making it your church home, I would love for everyone to go through Growth Track. It happens right after service, four Sundays immediately following the service. It'll take less than 3 hours of total time. And so if you've not been through step one of Growth Track, really encourage you to be here for that. Now the other thing we do the first Sunday of the month is one of our goals in Growth Track is to get you connected to a team. And so all of this that you see here, all of the setup and everything that happens from kids ministry to first impressions, hospitality, people in the parking lot, production crew, musicians, all of those individuals, they serve on what we call the dream team. And so one of the things we like to do is we like to recognize those on our dream team, and they're all amazing. But we like to highlight one who really excels and stands out in our core values. And so we have a star of the month, and we hand the actual award out privately within our team. But we love to do this corporately just to brag on our dream team because it's so amazing. And so our dream team star of the month for the month of June is Marta Macias. So I see you're there in the back. We love the Macias family. They are so faithful and some of the sweetest people that you'll ever meet. And so we just appreciate you. All right, we got anybody that is an aspiring rock star or musician or singer maybe in the house. I just wanted to let you know that on June 24th, we're going to be having a worship team audition night. And so I know some of you have been like, man, I don't want to go up to them and say that I can sing or play. And so if you can do, we don't really have, what are those, the maracas? I don't think we have that in the band. So if that's your gifting, just worship in the car, all right? Scott was all excited. He's like, I can finally be on the worship team. So if that's something that you're interested in, we'd love for you to mark that down. We really do have openings in every area of the band. And so if you've got a gifting and you've thought about, you know, stepping out in faith and trying that out, we'd love for you to be a part of that. So that's June 24th. It's a Monday night. Go ahead and text the word audition to 414-310-7650. That's audition to 414-310-7650. And then a member of our team will get in touch with you and we'll get you all the material and all the information that you need. But would love to kind of grow our band. Isn't our band incredible? Don't clap because I'm in it. I'm the exception to that. They work hard. I mean, they are here every Sunday morning at 7:30. They almost never have a week off. Not only that, they are at rehearsal just about every single Thursday of the week, and that we just appreciate your dedication and your hard work and effort. So we thank you for that. Well, I want to just take a moment. One of the things we do every week is we welcome those who will be listening to our message online later today. I know we have an online audience, and so let's just give them a hand and welcome them. We love you guys and are just thankful. For you. Well, today I'm going to jump in and I'm going to teach the fifth and the final installment of our baggage series. Everybody say baggage. And so I know we've got a lot of guests here this morning, and so you're like, man, I'm coming on the fifth week. I'm not going to know anything that's going on. I just want to let you know I'm going to give you a quick refresher really, really quick to get you caught up on where we are. But if you missed any of the lessons, the messages, you can find them on our podcast, on iTunes, also on our website. We also have a church app that you can find through your app store, and all the messages are put there. But let me just start by giving you a quick overview of where we've been so that you know, so that you can understand this message. In week number one, we talked about the fact that every one of us has baggage. We all have issues, right? If you're here today and you don't have issues or think you don't, that's actually your issue. Like, we all have problems. We all have situations and difficulties. And there are far too many people today who do not enjoy their lives, not because of the destination that they're headed to, but because of this baggage that they're carrying around with them. And it's heavy. It gets cumbersome after a while, and it begins to weigh them down. In fact, in the New Testament, there's a biblical term for baggage that's called stronghold, and that word literally means a prisoner locked by deception. And so, in other words, when you have a stronghold on your life, you've chosen to believe something that is not true. And so if our baggage is based on a lie, then the way that we overcome that, the solution to overcome any lie is truth. And so what we've been doing in this series is I've been trying to equip you with the truth found in God's word to combat the lies that our enemy has told us. In fact, the scripture tells us that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. In fact, that's what he does all day and all night. In fact, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he called Satan, he called him the father of all lies. He is constantly saying things that aren't true. If his lips are moving, he is lying. And so some of you may have even experienced, you know, his lying tactic as we sang and worshiped together this morning, as you said, well, I'll sing and I'll open my mouth, maybe kind of lift my hands a little bit, only to hear the enemy whisper, you know, laughingly in your ear, you know, what a hypocrite. Why are you singing? You know what you did. You know what you said last night. Go ahead. Don't even waste your time. God will never accept you. And anybody ever heard the enemy whisper things like that in your ears when you step out to do something in faith? Satan is constantly whispering and throwing things out there that are not true. And so that was kind of week one. And then in week two, we focused on guilt, on the subject of guilt, which is the first of the two major areas where our baggage comes from. And so we carry this bag of guilt and shame over a mistake or something from our past, maybe something that was done to us. And then in week three, we discussed the second most common area where we pick these bags up from, and that is from people or relational wounds. Anybody here ever experienced a relational wound? Had someone hurt you? Come on, don't be lying in church, all right? All right. Then finally, last week, we discussed this concept that when you come to Jesus, there are some things immediately that he gives you freedom in. And while there are some things that happen instantly, there are parts of us that over time begin to transform. However, even with that transformation, many of us, we have that one thing. We have that one area. We've got that bag that just won't let go. And so many of us, we buy into this mindset, well, you know, I've got 95% of my life taken care of. I've improved in so many different ways. But this one thing, I guess it's just the way that I am. I guess I'm just going to have to deal with this the rest of my life. And so hopefully you were able to find some freedom from that thing last week. But today what I want to do is I want to teach this final lesson, because once you have experienced freedom, how do you stay free? How do you stay in that place. If you've walked with Jesus for any length of time, you've undoubtedly experienced a season of freedom only to face a counterattack. And most of us in this room, if we're being honest, we're not really prepared to deal with, and therefore we are susceptible to the counterattack of our enemy. And so my goal this morning is to help equip you with some tools for the inevitable counterattack that is going to come. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, Jesus was teaching, and this is what he said. He said, when an evil spirit leaves a person, and some of you are saying, well, wait, time out. Pastor, are you saying, like, I'm demon-possessed? All right? No. I'm not saying that, all right? Maybe, all right? But I want you to realize that when something bad comes out of your life, this is what happens. It says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person that I came from. And so it returns and it finds its former home. It's all swept up. It's all cleaned up. It's all put in order. In other words, you put into practice some of the things that we've covered in this series and you found some freedom. But this is kind of where it gets bad. I wish we could just kind of end our reading right here. But it says, then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and they live there. And so that person is worse off than before. I wonder how many of you have ever kind of made a step and like, I'm not going back to that anymore. I'm not going back to that place. And you find freedom for a little period of time, but only to find it rushing back in and you're worse off than you were even the first time you started, right? And some of you are probably thinking, well, man, that's really a discouraging, you know, verse of scripture, pastor. Can't we just start a new series, all right? We will in a few weeks, all right? But you see, there's this cycle of bondage that happens in almost every arena of our lives. It happens in government. We see it occur in businesses, in personal finances. It happens with our morals and with our character. And so my hope today is that we can stop this cycle from occurring in our lives. Let me give it to you. First, here's the first part. We start by number one, first blank in your sermon outline. I encourage you to take it out, follow along with us. Number one, we start by experiencing freedom. We start by experiencing freedom. All of us in this room, we want to be free. And most of us in this room, we have the fight within us to pursue it and to go after that freedom. In fact, if you step away and if you look at the birth of the United States of America, it's really quite remarkable. It's a miracle. These brave individuals traveled into the unknown over dangerous seas primarily for this purpose of having religious freedom. And it's quite, you know, remarkable that the sacrifices that they made and all of the different things that they went through and that they endured to become free in a sovereign nation. I think all of us can kind of relate to that in our own lives and in our own stories. We've all had times where we fight for things, right? Anybody here ever fight for some things, right? You know, where you're sort of like wake up and you're like, you just feel it rise up. Like you got to put Mel Gibson in Braveheart on. You're like, you get out the face paint, you're all blue and you're like, freedom! You know, you're like, scream it out, right? And the truth is, I want you to understand this. In most cases in our lives, what you are willing to fight for, you will achieve. But once freedom is achieved, it leads us to the second part of the cycle. And this is a great part. Number two, we all love this. Freedom produces prosperity. Freedom will always produce prosperity. And as wonderful as that is, unfortunately, many people do not know how to handle their freedom and the prosperity that comes with it. In fact, studies have revealed that well over 50% of prisoners who serve their time behind bars, they pay their debt to society, they end up getting released and then going back to jail just a short time later. Most people who experience freedom, they get arrogant, they get complacent, they slip back into their old habits and they stop moving and pushing forward. And it kind of the same way in our lives, all of the things we did to experience freedom in the first place, we stop doing. And when we stop doing it, we lose our prosperity. I think just look at our country. For centuries, our nation, it experienced unprecedented economic prosperity. It grew. There was great freedom. But today, we are in a time of unparalleled debt, both as a nation and as individuals. In fact, I did some research this week in prepping for this message. If you are to take our national debt, the national debt right now today, and if you would divide it by every man, woman, and child in this country, we each would owe $66,991. What's happened? We didn't know how to handle our freedom. We didn't understand how good we actually had it. In fact, other studies show that the average American today spends 122% of what they earn. And that's a staggering thought, because many of us, you know, in this room, then we are literally charging ourselves into slavery. In our prosperity, we become arrogant and complacent, which leads us then to the third cycle, and that is we find ourselves back in bondage. We find ourselves right back in bondage. And so my goal is to not only help you find freedom and prosperity, but to teach you how to handle them so you can end the cycle and stay free from that thing once and for all. How many of you like to stay free from the things that drag you down once and for all, right? It's interesting to me that the early church, as you read about it, struggled with the same issues of staying free. With the resurrection of Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the early church experienced a tremendous amount of freedom. You see, prior to Jesus coming and paying the debt that he paid for us on Calvary, that in order to get to God, one had to kill an animal, actually sacrifice an animal. And there was all sorts of protocol and procedure to spill the blood out and put it upon the altar. But when Jesus came and he sacrificed his blood, it settled everything. The sin debt was paid once and for all, and his Spirit allowed people to be set free. And so the early church was enjoying this, but because they did not know how to handle it, they had this tendency to kind of go back to the bondage. And so in your Bible, there's an entire book in the New Testament. It's called the Book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church to fix a church who had found freedom but was headed back to bondage again. And when you read the book and I'm going to highlight some of it for you here in a minute, it's actually kind of humorous what their bondage was about. You see, the Jewish people had all of these laws and rituals, and one of the biggest was that young Jewish boys were to be circumcised shortly after they were born. And so the Jewish people considered anyone who was uncircumcised to be unclean. And so while the Jews were experiencing this newfound freedom and all of this grace in Jesus, what was happening is that God was actually saving and pouring out his Spirit upon the Gentiles. What's a Gentile? That's just anyone that is not a Jew. And so God was pouring them out, and so the Gentiles began to be saved, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and so they were excited about what God was doing in their life, and so they start showing up to church. But because they didn't follow the Jews' religious laws and traditions, that there was some friction there, and there were some problems. And because they were not circumcised, the Jewish believers considered the Gentiles to be unclean. And even though those laws didn't apply to them, the Jews began pressuring the Gentiles to get circumcised. I mean, now imagine this. Welcome to our church, but if you want to attend here, you must prove that you're circumcised. Nobody was signing up to be on that welcoming crew, right? Yeah. No one's like, I won't be on the greeter team. I'll serve anywhere else, but not the greeter team, Pastor, right? I mean, I can't imagine as they're trying to start growth track and, you know, the men are like, baby, you can go, but I'm going to sit in the car. I ain't going to growth track. I'm not being a member of that church, right? But Paul was upset that even though they had been given freedom, they started putting burdens that weren't necessary on other people. And so Paul spends the entire book of Galatians trying to fix this behavior. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says this. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again, everybody say again, again by a yoke of slavery. And that really is the crux of my message here this morning. Don't let yourself become burdened again. Hopefully you found some freedom in the first 4 weeks of this series, but please don't let yourself go back and become burdened again. So I want to give you a few keys to maintaining freedom this morning. To have God's blessing of freedom on our lives and to stay free from bondage, it is essential that we practice these three things. Here's the first one. Number one, it's the simple word humility. Humility. Most people lose their freedom because they become arrogant. And it's really easy to look at our lives and in certain seasons think, man, everything's going good. I've got the good job. Everything's going right. You know, money's coming in. Like I got good friends. I've got it all figured out. I've got everything under control. But Proverbs 16 tells us pride goes before destruction. And haughtiness before a fall. Instead of acting like we have it all together when God blesses us, our business, our careers, our home, I challenge you to go before God each and every day and say, you know what, on my best day, Lord, I still fall short. God, even on my best day, if it wasn't for you, where would I be? Listen, everything that we have has come from the gracious hand of a merciful God. A wise man once said, a man on his face can never fall from that position. And so I don't want you to fall again. I want you to go back and have to recover the ground that you have already taken. There are really just two choices that we have. We can either choose to humble ourselves or we can be humbled. It's either humility or humiliation. One of the two we initiate while the other God initiates. And I want to just tell you, when God wants to humble you, it's never a good thing. It's so much better when we do it on our own. David in the Old Testament, in spite of all of his failures, and if you read the life of David, he made some pretty bad mistakes. Some of them included murder. One of them included adultery. But David was a man after God's own heart, and he always remained humble. And because of his humility, he never fell out of God's provision and prosperity. Watch what he wrote in Psalms 51. He wrote, "Have mercy on me, O God. Because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins." Verse 2, "Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin." Verse 17, skipping down, "The sacrifice that you desire." And this is just a really fancy way to say what God really likes. God, what you really desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, oh God. Never forget that everything you have and everything you are has come from our gracious God. Always be humble. Always remember where you came from and who has provided the blessings in your life. And so to maintain our freedom, the first essential is humility. The second one is honesty. We need to be honest. Meaning when we are tempted to go back to that thing, that issue, that thing that pulls us, that bag that just won't let go, when it starts knocking on our lives again, we need to tell someone. That's what we talked about last week, having someone that we can be accountable this morning. I want you to hear me this morning. Just because you've fallen, just because you've slipped up, it does not mean that this bag has to come back to your life. See, so many of us, we make a mistake and we say, okay, God, I'm not going to carry this anymore. And then we stumble and we slip up and we kind of make a mistake. And so we think, all right, well, I guess I got to carry this around. No. Just because, listen, God has grace in your life for that. The Bible says that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but that he will get up on the 8th time. In the book of Micah, yeah, amen. The book of Micah says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, what? I shall arise." And so what'll happen is if we refuse to be honest, we are going to invite that bag, that addiction, whatever it may be for you, to come back to your life. And so we've got to be honest in two ways. First, we must be honest with God. 1 John 1:9 tells us, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Understand that the instant you mess up, this bag is going to come knocking on the door of your life. And what we need to do is, instead of picking that up, is immediately go to God and say, God, I messed up here. I dropped the ball here. Would you forgive me? Would you wash me? Would you cleanse me all over again? And I'll tell you, when you do it, he is faithful and just to forgive us, those who reach out to him. Amen. Not only do we need to be honest with God, but we need to be honest with God's people. James 5:16, we read this last week. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and it produces wonderful results. It is essential that we confess to God for forgiveness. Watch this. And to God's people for healing, if we're going to continue to live in freedom. And so that's why I want every member of this church, if you consider the Lifeway your church home, you need to be a part of a summer party life group. All right, and that Life Group Sunday is next week, and I know you heard the announcement once, but I want to make sure you hear it a second time. Get into a group, because it's essential that we build relationships so that we have someone in our life that we can connect with and someone that we can give permission to and say, hey, Jonte, man, I love you, bro. I'm struggling in this area. Would you help hold me accountable? We all need that. We all need that. A story is told of three pastors. I've shared this before, but I love this story. These three pastors got together and they decided that they were going to hold, you know, they're going to be accountable to one another. And so they had this agreement. They set up a coffee meeting and they're all sitting around the table. And the first pastor gets up and he tells the two other pastors sitting there, he goes, man, I just need you guys to pray for me. I struggle with lust. And so he kind of shares a little bit. He gets a little bit of encouragement back. And after sharing the problem, he just said to the group, he said, man, it feels so great just to get this off of my chest. And the second pastor went on to share with the group how he was addicted to gambling. And he was falling further and further and further into debt. And he was out of control and just couldn't manage it. And so they gave him some encouragement and prayed over him. And he said, man, this is just so wonderful, this accountability. I just feel like it's lifted a huge weight off of my shoulders. And the third pastor then proceeded to share with the group how much he struggled with gossip and how he couldn't wait to get out of that meeting. Listen, find a mature believer. I don't think it needs to be three. That was probably one of the mistakes there. But just find someone that you can talk to. Don't convince yourself, listen, that you can handle this alone. Man, we all need brothers and sisters. Scripture says two are better than one, and a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Don't do life alone. We all need each other. Amen. If we're going to maintain our freedom, we need humility. We need honesty. And then the third one is that we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit active in our lives. Paul, while praying in 2 Corinthians, said, may the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Everybody say all. That's a letter written to the church. And so he was essentially telling this church at Corinth, all of my teachings and all of my writings are not going to be enough. You're still going to need the power of the Holy Spirit, because you can't maintain this on your own strength and with your own efforts. And so Romans 8:9 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. Watch this. If. Circle that in your notes. That's an important word. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And can I just be honest with you this morning? Most of us in this room, we don't need to hear any more messages. Most of us have been sermonized way beyond our level of obedience. What we really need is more encounters, right? That's what why we do Encounter Night the first Thursday of the month. We need more experiences. We need a deeper connection in our personal relationship, in our walk with God. We need his power and his help in our lives. There's a story of a man in the Bible. Find it in the Old Testament. in the book of Genesis. His name was Jacob, and I want to share a little bit of his story with you as we wrap this series up. But if you know anything about Jacob, Jacob had a ton of baggage. You talk about a messed up dude, read Jacob's story. It was messed up. He had terrible issues from his past. In fact, this is how messed up he was. Back in Bible days when you were born, like, they gave you a name because the name actually meant something based on kind of who you were. And so Jacob's name, it literally means deceiver. How about naming your kid Liar? Hey, Liar. Sometimes we want to say that, I know. Well, probably not your kids. Anyway, all right. You guys all have perfect kids here right now. But Jacob had issues with people. He had issues with his father-in-law Laban. He had issues with his brother Esau. He tried everything. He tried to get everything together. And the more he tried, the more he seemed to mess things up. And so he gets so desperate at one season in his life that he has this encounter with God and he wrestles with an angel. We're going to pick up the story here. Genesis chapter 32, starting in verse 24, it says, "This left Jacob alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. And when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket." Somebody say, "Ow, that just sounds painful," right? "And so the man said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" Picture this. They're fighting. They're wrestling. His hip is wrenched out of place. And Jacob says, "I am so desperate. I am not going to let go until you bless me." Verse 27. Watch this. I love this. "What is your name?" the man asked. Man, talk about a low blow. "Yeah, I'm Liar. I'm Deceiver." Watch this, verse 28. "Your name will no longer be Jacob." In other words, what you've been known by in your past. In other words, the failures, your mistakes, the things that drive you, the things that cause you to look at life in all sorts of messed up ways. This angel of God says, "Your name will no longer be that. From now on, you will be called Israel." He goes from being Deceiver to Israel, which means prince, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Verse 29, "Please tell me your name." I think that's interesting. You wrestle all night. The guy rips your hip out of socket, and Jacob goes, "What's your name?" I think maybe we would have started with that, right? I mean, this must have been a weird, usually like guys are getting, you know, like they just started going at it right away. And so the angel says, "Why do you want to know my name?" The man replied, and then he blessed Jacob there. And Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." And this is what I want to encourage you on. You don't need to go wrestle with an angel all night. All right, although if one shows up in your room and that's what you feel like you need to do tonight, go for it. Let me know how it goes on Monday, all right? But we all need to have an encounter with God face to face, just like Jacob did. And when we do, it's going to produce these three things in our lives. I want to close out our series with these three things. The first thing it's going to give you, number one, is a new strength. A new strength. It's really interesting to me, as they fought all night, he could have broke his arm, he could have dislocated his shoulder, maybe sprained a wrist, but the Bible says that his hip was pulled out of socket. And I think if you know anything about the anatomy, the hip is the largest and it's the strongest joint in all of our body. And I believe that God pulled Jacob's hip out of socket as a way of telling him, "Hey, Jacob, I don't want you to rely on your own strength. Instead, I want you to rely on my strength." As a reminder, I'm going to dislocate your hip. And as you read the story of Jacob from that day forward, he always walked with a limp. And I think God was saying, "Listen, you will always be reminded that you simply cannot go through life without me." Amen. And so Paul understood this principle. He was so desperate for God's help in everything that he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain." All right, so if you don't like the preaching, I'm trying to be just like this, all right? Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but rather you would trust in the power of God. Listen, we need a strength. I need a strength that goes beyond my natural abilities. The second thing that happened to Jacob that I'm believing will happen to you today is this. Number two, you will receive a new identity. A new identity, a new name. All throughout the Bible, you'll read about those who encountered God face to face. Abraham, Jacob, Paul, Peter. And God, after they had this encounter, changed their name. And some of you, listen, I want you to hear me. You have bought into an identity that is not from God. You believed the horrible things that were told to you as a child. You believe that you are the sum of the mistakes that you made. You believe all of these things, but what I want you to do is listen to God, because God created you perfectly. In fact, Scripture says, I will praise you, O Lord, because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Some of us need to start listening to the voice from above instead of all the voices in the masses, because God wants us to live in the identity of who He's called us to be. Amen. And that is a son and daughter. You don't have to be defined by the mistakes and the sins of your past. 2 Corinthians 5 says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become, watch this, a new person. A new person. I love we did baptism Sunday, and we baptized four last week, and I was able to spend some time with Michelle, and she told me some of her story. And listen, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and a new life has begun. You don't have to hold on to those things. You don't have to be deceiver anymore. You don't have to be liar. You don't have to be slut. You don't have to be fat, lazy, whatever label has been put on you by society. You can become a prince or princess with God once you have an encounter with Jesus Christ. So we can walk out of this room today with a brand new name. And then the third thing that Jacob got with that blessing was a new joy. A new joy. This wasn't something that was shallow. It wasn't like you get a new car and it was exciting for the first couple of days, so you had to wash it and clean it because the kids spilled something in it, or get that first. No. This was a joy that was something deep inside, something that wasn't regulated by the tides of what's going on in this world. David said in Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." And I believe that God wants to do something great inside each and every one of us here this morning. But before we can have an encounter with Him, we need to address anything between us and God that is in the way. We need to destroy the barriers. In Ephesians 2, it says that Jesus came to destroy the barrier that is between you and God. Truth be told, there are many here that could raise their hand and say, you know what, I'm religious and I may go to church all the time, but if I'm being truthful, I'm still empty. I'm still alone. There's a barrier. There's something in the way. It just feels like God is just a million miles away. You love Him, but He's so far away. Chances are, if you're in that place, you already know what that barrier is. Maybe you're mad at God for something that happened in your childhood. Maybe you're mad at God for something that happened, someone that loved you or should have loved you, but instead hurt you. Maybe you've experienced some disappointment. Maybe you're skeptical of church. Maybe that barrier today is your sin. But if you want to have a face-to-face encounter with God, but are experiencing any kind of barrier, this is what I want to let you know this morning. Jesus Christ can remove that this morning. You just need to give it to Him and surrender your life to Jesus. And I know it sounds like a lot. A preacher gets up here and says, oh, just surrender your life to Jesus. Well, oh God, I don't, well, what do you, if I give it to you, what are you going to do with it? But I want you to think about it. It's really a great deal. We surrender our life to Him. We get to give Him our junk, our pain, our hurt, our depression, our anxiety, our suicidal thoughts, our brokenness. We get to give him all of that ugly stuff. And instead, what he does is he gives us freely an opportunity for a brand new life and a fresh start. And so if there's something in the way, if there's a barrier, I challenge you, let's get rid of it. And let's make this decision to commit our lives to follow Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come up to the front. The question is really simple. Who's willing to say this morning, I am ready to come to Jesus. I'm ready to surrender my life. I want the barriers gone, and I want to see God face to face. If that's where you're at this morning, no one looking around, I want you just to have the boldness right now and just lift your hand so I can pray for you. Is there anybody here? Wow, hands all over the place. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the greatest decision. Thank you. I see you there in the back. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord God, today I come before you. I don't even really know the right words to say. But I know that I don't like the emptiness in my life. I know I don't like the baggage that I'm having to carry. I know I don't like the anger that I'm carrying, the hurt that I'm carrying, the brokenness that I'm carrying. So, Lord Jesus, right now I open up my hands and I just give it to you. And Lord, I ask you today, take my life. Lord Jesus, today I repent. Today I turn towards you. Lord, let me walk in freedom. Thank you for new life today, Jesus. Lord God, I pray for every believer that's in this room. Many who've walked with you for a long period of time and have continued to carry baggage that you paid the price that we could be set free from carrying. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to step forward and move forward and release that bag once and for all. Lord Jesus, and that we would walk in freedom. Lord God, that we would remain humble, Lord Jesus, that we would remain honest, Lord God, that we would invite your Holy Spirit to fill us, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray over everyone in this room today, Lord, that you would give us a new strength. Lord Jesus, give us a new identity. And Lord Jesus, most of all, Lord God, I pray a joy, Lord Jesus, that is not, Lord Jesus, dependent on the things that are going on in our lives. A joy that's not dependent on the latest raise or the latest vacation or the latest toy that we're looking to buy. But Lord God, give us godly contentment. Lord God, and a joy that we know that you will never leave us and that you will never forsake us. And that you are always reaching for us and waiting for us. Lord Jesus, we surrender ourselves to you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.